Just thank you that you are holy, that you are good, that you are with us. Father, we thank you for this series as we continue on at looking at why church. And Lord, we thank you that last week we got to look at really the beginning of the church and how it started and how you moved incredibly with so many coming to faith. Lord, and the controlled chaos that was there and how you were leading thousands and thousands of new believers and leading the leadership, Lord. And Father, we just ask that today as we continue to look at some of the things of why church, of how we do church and what you've called us to here, Lord, that you would lead us through your word. Father, that we would be coming today right now humble of spirit. Lord, forgive us for thinking that we know the answers. And we don't. You do. And so we ask that you would be sharing with us not only the principles of moving forward as a church family together, Lord, but where we fit and how we can be a blessing and the things that we can do to not get in the way of what you're doing. So, Father, we just ask for your blessing upon this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yeah. Actually, why don't we do it right after the message? Yeah, thank you. Thanks. Thanks, Kathy. Sorry about that. All right. So, guys, unity equals maturity is the title of the message today. As I was thinking about things, as I was working through things, as I was working through the title, I was really looking at, you know, the scripture and what are some of the things that get in the way of the church being the church. You know, last week we were looking at the beginning of the church, and today I want us to hit church from this side. What are some things that cause the challenges that we bring to the table that get in the way of what God is doing, and how do we stop those things? How do we prevent those things from becoming a growing part of the ministry? So 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9 will be our main scripture and that we'll be looking at. And then we'll also be looking at some scriptures from James. But 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4 says this, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not being merely human?" So we've got the church in Corinth, and there's division in the church, and you've got some leaders, and it's not just those two guys. There's some others, but those are the two that there's some challenges with. And so people are coming behind two leaders in the church, and anytime you've got multiple leaders in anything, you've got areas for confusion and division. And in the church, praise God, there are multiple leaders. Because that's the way it should be. That's the way it's been set up. And that's the way God has designed it to be. But with that, we've got to be very, very careful. And it is, pride can equal division. What I mean by that is, Paul's main concern in these chapters is to dissolve the pride that causes boasting and division. So if you've got different people in leadership, and you're, rather than coming along behind them and building all of the leadership team up, you're subtracting from it. If you're building one up and tearing one or two or three others down, it's bringing division in the church. And he comes down hard in this chapter on pride of human wisdom. And he has three things that I wanted to kind of pull out here. And that is, as we look at it, we've got basically three kinds of people here. We've got a natural person, which isn't talked about in chapter 1 of this book. In verse 18, it says, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. Glenn, would it be better if I went up to one of those mics? Would that make a difference? Okay. All right. We'll keep going. All right. So we've got the natural person, those who don't know the Lord yet. And with those who don't know the Lord, it says that they are perishing. And then we've got the spiritual person that's talked about in 1 Corinthians 2:6. It says, yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. So we've got those who don't know Jesus, and then we've got the mature in Christ. And that's not the only groups we have. We also have a third group, which is infants. But here's the key, guys. Paul is saying they're infants . And so there's a lot of people who struggle with, where do I stand with Jesus? Where am I in my salvation? Where, you know, I've said the prayer, but it's been more than a prayer. I committed my life to God, but now I'm struggling with these things. More things are coming in, and I'm struggling. Or maybe there's a point of salvation, but a lot of things have not been given over. Sanctification hasn't taken place a lot. Because what does every human start as? A baby, right? You got to be a baby and then a toddler and then a young person and then a teen and then a young man or young woman and then an adult. And you don't start off as the adult. And so as we come in with justification, knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then as time goes on, more and more areas of our lives are committed and given over to Christ. But one of the second things he deals with is, he says, I fed you with milk, not solid food. And he's talking to the church in Corinth. And here, remember, the church in Corinth, they had all the gifts that were necessary. They had all the complete set of gifts. But he comes and he says, you know what? I'm still feeding you with milk and not with solid food, for you were not ready for it. Even though time had elapsed and things had happened, they weren't ready for it. And why is that? And then he goes through the third point, which is, even now you are not yet ready. And notice how in the earlier parts of those, he was speaking in past tense. And now he moves from past tense to present tense. And he says, even now you are not yet ready, for you are still what? Of the flesh. And what does it mean to be of the flesh? For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? And what he means by a human way is those who don't know the Lord yet. You're behaving as though you're just... that Christ is not in you when strife and dissension and when it's part of how we relate to each other and it's showing itself, we're acting as though we don't know Jesus. And so how important is it that we move forward? And the whole idea of being fed with milk and not solid food is this. What is it about a person that makes them unable to digest solid food? What is it about a person, and here he's saying it's pride. Pride makes it so you can't digest the solid food. Guys, we have to be humble of spirit. And this is hard every day. This is hard every day because we have strong opinions, don't we? We have very strong opinions. And I tell you, in leadership in a family, this is hard. Leadership in a church, this is difficult. But we've got to deal with this. And digesting solid food requires humility. Because we can't just stay with only the milk, which is the work of Christ Jesus on the cross. That's the foundation of it all. But because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, my life is now different. I don't have to be in charge. I don't have to dictate to everybody else what my will is for them. I don't have to control the world around me. And I can come to a place where I'm trusting God. more and more and more. Then it ends with verse 4, for when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? Guys, we don't follow human leadership first. And the leadership that we have in our families is designed by God. The leadership that we have in the church, it's designed by God to follow Jesus Christ. And as we follow Christ as leaders, others follow us. But I think it's very, very important to not get this mixed up. Notice that something that takes place here, I think this is important. What it takes for that humility to come across, what it takes for that humility to really be there, is not intelligence. For maturity to take place, we don't need to be intelligent enough to be mature. So often in the church, we think of things as, you know what? If I have more knowledge, then I'm mature. But simply head knowledge is not maturity. There are a lot of people who have a lot of biblical understanding, head knowledge, that they can recite God's word better than I can. But they're mean. Maturity is not intelligence, guys. Maturity is, it is, God is God. I am not. I need to cling on to God with both hands. I need to be dependent on Him daily. And so I go to His word for truth, because I don't have truth in and of myself. I need truth desperately every waking moment. But I don't have that on my own. And we need to be humble of spirit. And so maturity is not intelligence. It doesn't have to do with the intellect. It has to do with the heart. It has to do with the soul. And if intelligence comes in and God's word comes in, I should say, as I'm processing the truth of God's word, now my spirit is humbled. God is God, I am not. And now I'm looking at my brothers and sisters differently. Not as those to be conquered or have them come along with me, but now we get to be on this journey together. Now we get to support each other. And guys, this is so easily, it's so easy to get off track in this area. Because with any authority comes what? Responsibility and power. As your pastor, there is a leadership and an authority that I have. Guys, that's a weight that I cannot carry. That's a weight that I cannot carry. Christ in me can carry. But I cannot. I cannot. It's for humble people, people who have stopped pursuing the pleasures of self-indulgence, of making it about me, of sex, self-exaltation, of look at what we're doing, look at what I'm doing, follow me. We've got to be careful there. And self-determination. I'll get this done. We will get this done. And in authority, sometimes the desire of accomplishing the task becomes greater than the people that are in the task being accomplished. And Jesus does not do that. Jesus values the people rather than the task. Now, are the tasks of Jesus fairly important? Absolutely. You know, that whole dying on the cross thing. Kind of significant to us, right?
important, but he values people all the way through. And we've got to be aware of this. We've got to be aware of it as leaders, and we've got to be aware of it as those who are following the leaders. I want to encourage you guys, do not follow one to the exclusion of another. Do not be taken and as you're supporting one, say about the other, they're different. They don't. Praise God, they're different. Praise God, they're different. Because through the multiple gifts of all those men and women in different leadership positions, we can move forward in a way that honors all the people and gives the glory to God. Praise God, they're different. James 3, it takes this idea and it develops a little more. And I want to encourage us with this. James 3, starting in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Back to wisdom, being wise, being mature. By his good conduct, let him show his works in what? In the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Guys, whenever we get in the way of what God is doing, we are working for the enemy's side. Whenever we make ministry about us and our wants and our needs, we are working in accordance with what the enemy is doing. Because the enemy is always saying, it's about you. You're the most important one here. And they don't understand you. Guys, this is no different for those who are in leadership. Because when you make decisions, you can't always make everybody. And then you start to hear, and then you can start doubting. And then you can start trying to please man rather than God. And this is so difficult in leadership. Who do we please? Do we please man or do we please God? But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. That is not wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. You know, I think of Peter as Peter is trying to tell Jesus' plan for what's ahead is not the best plan. And Peter is telling Jesus, I'm not going to let these things happen to you. I got you. And he's telling Jesus of a different way. Strong paraphrase there. And Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Can you imagine what that must have felt like? What is he saying? He's not saying that Peter is Satan. He's saying, you know what? You're working for the enemy right now. When you try and bring your will as opposed to my will, you're working for the enemy. You're bringing on his ideas. Peter, it's not about you. It's not about how you want to do things. It's about me, Jesus says. It's about my purpose for this situation, my plan of how this will happen. Continues in verse 16 of James 3. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Guys, hear this. Hear this. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. I've been a part of every vile practice. I have. Because there's been times where I've wanted my way. And I got to ask you guys, ask yourselves, where am I in this? Am I about bringing the family together? Am I about bringing the family here at church together? Am I about bringing my family at home together? At work, am I about bringing the people together and lifting up God and building up people? Or am I about getting my way no matter what it costs the people around me? It's not just for the church. It's not just for home. This is for work, too. How we live at work, it matters.
Verse 17, but the wisdom from above, I love this, is first pure.
Do you know how little junk has to be in water to make it not pure? Do you know that often water will look pure? You drink it, you're going to get sick. It's not about how it looks, is it? It's about, is it really pure? The only thing that makes the church pure is Jesus Christ. That's it. That's what we stand on, is His purity.
But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable.
Guys, one of the ways we know that we're not behaving maturely is what? Are we at odds with each other? Are we at odds with each other?
Then it says, gentle. Gentle.
It's a big word, isn't it? I can think of some of the men who have spoken most deeply into my lives, and the word gentle is there. They said things like Christ says things. They said things in ways that I was prepared to hear with my maturity level at the time. They said things that needed to be said. But they didn't make it about what they were doing, who they were. They gently spoke truth in. And there's that picture of gentleness, which is that kindness, that loving kindness, that gentleness.
Open to reason.
You know what that means? I don't want to hear from you. I have the answer. It's the opposite of that. I can't remember. I was watching either a movie or a TV show. I can't even remember now, but I just remember this. Every time the other person was speaking, the person who didn't want to listen to them would go, hup, hup. And the other person would go, well, I did. And every time, hup, hup. In other words, close it, close it. Open to reason. In other words, let me hear your heart. When there are problems, if we listen to each other, it's important, isn't it? And here's the thing. When Julie and I, in marriage situation, when we're frustrated with each other, guess what I struggle with? I struggle with listening. I don't struggle with speaking. I struggle with listening. When God is speaking, you know what? It makes sense that we would listen. What He has to say probably is more important than what I have to say or what we have to say. And so it's slowing down, it's listening, it's being open to reason. And then it says, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. We don't talk down to people either, do we?
We don't talk down.
And we don't talk as though we're one outside of the situation or outside of the struggle. We're in the heat of it. And we need to acknowledge that we're struggling with it. And in marriage, in friendships, in business relationships, it's always important that these things are a part of how we live. Because as believers, even if we're dealing with people who aren't believers, because how we live shows that God is real to us, shows that He makes a difference. And they see something special. People will stop seeing us and they'll start seeing Jesus in us. And that's worth seeing.
That's beautiful. Good fruits come, impartial, through being sincere. And here it is, verse 18, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make what?
Peace.
Peace.
Guys, when you don't have peace, you know it, don't you? When I struggle with things that are big, I'm having conversations with other people, and that same situation is in my head, and sometimes I don't even hear what the conversation is anymore. And then I go over here and talk to these people, and I'm having a conversation, and that same other thing is still in my head. And I'm trying to listen, and I can't even, it's foggy. Why? There's unrest in the soul. There's unrest in the soul. And rather than having a harvest of righteousness, I'm having a harvest of disorder and confusion because I don't have peace. Peace is so precious, and it's peace is kind of like health. You don't fully appreciate it until you don't have it. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're in the midst of that right now. I know for my dad, went back in for surgery. Got to see him yesterday for a while. And just one of the things he communicated about 5 or 6 times was, you don't appreciate it until you don't have it. I don't have it right now. I'm at a loss. We want harvests of righteousness. And they're sown in peace by those who make peace. And then the last two verses we're going to cover from James. What causes quarrels? And what causes fights among you? And then he just kind of says it exactly like it is. Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire, and you do not have, so you murder. Because remember what Jesus said. You've heard it said, do not commit murder. But I say to you, if you have hatred in your heart towards your brother, you are a murderer. See, Jesus takes the truth and applies it at a much greater level. Then it says, you covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You can't get what you want, so you're willing to put the other person down to get what you want. And every single one in this room is guilty of this. We are all guilty of this. We need to know it. We need to admit it. We need to be what? Humble. Humble of heart. And it does not come apart from us grabbing on to the truth of Christ, who he is and what he's doing. So now with that, let's continue on in 1 Corinthians 3:5. It says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? So you've got these two guys, Apollos and Paul, that the people in the church are looking towards. Remember, Paul came and he planted us. I follow Paul because he's the first guy on the scene. He cared enough to get us, to take us in when nobody else would. Well, that was all nice for back then, buddy. But I follow Apollos because guess what? He's with me now. What's Paul doing? He just keeps moving on and doing his thing. I follow Apollos. He's my guy now. You take your Paul. I got Apollos. You take your Apollos. I got Paul. I'm talking the first dude. Do you know what Paul's gone through? Oh, I know. Do you know what Paul's gone through? And all of a sudden, man. So it asks the question. I love how Paul just states it so clearly. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believe, as the Lord assigned to each. What's he saying? What are they? They're waiters. Paul and Apollos, you're thinking of them as these great men of God. No, Jesus is the great one. These guys are waiters. And how does he put it? Servants through whom you believe. They aren't the originator of truth. They aren't the founder of truth. Paul was the first on the scene. He wasn't the guy who created truth. He just pointed at Jesus. They're the waiters bringing Christ, bringing the gospel. And that word that's used there, first, they're the waiters at the tables. Hey, I'm Matthew Shorek. I'm your pastor for today. Would you like to start out with a nice beverage of the gospel? Would you like to have a little side order? We're waiters. That's it, guys. Now, we'll go into a little bit more of what that means, but man, there's as you look at Paul and Apollos, and then you look at Jesus, do you think, wow, Paul and Apollos are incredible? No, you think Jesus is amazing. And who are those other guys? Oh, yeah, they're the ones telling me about Jesus. But they're pointing at him. And it's through whom? Through whom? It's like, as the waiter brings the water, he didn't create the water to fill the glass. He's bringing the life, but he's not the creator of life. He's bringing the nourishment, but he didn't create any of it. It's not in his hands. He's the one bringing what's there. Servants through whom you believe. That means the power that brought you to faith doesn't start with those who are bringing the good news. Verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is what? Now just a second here. I'm the pastor of the church. Just a second. Anything? Guess what happens if I'm not here? God keeps moving. Guess what happens if fill in the blank isn't here? God keeps moving. And by the grace of God, even if I go in a good way or if I go in sin, God keeps even moving in me. And it's true for all of us. And in a church family, what happens all the time? Some of you are here today because you were wounded somewhere else at another church. Guess what? The wound has come with you, guys. And what God is saying is, I don't want you to be defined by that wound anymore. Because what happens with the wound? We make the vow, I'm not going to. We're wounded and we make the vow that we're not going to. And then we become trapped by that vow. And we often sin on the other side of the vow. We have the pendulum over here and we make the vow and so we sin way over here. Because we're not going to be like that guy who did that to me. But I'll be like this guy who will do this to you. Only God gives the growth. Only God is significant. And it uses the word nothing. They are nothing in verse 7. And this is amazing because Paul and Apollos are not, as we would see, nothing. We think of them as great men of faith. And yes, they are. But it's not about them. In Philippians, it talks about how we should honor such men who are in leadership. In Thessalonians, it says, esteem your leaders very highly and esteem them in love because of their work, because of what they're doing. So it's not saying that they're of no value. But in comparison to Christ Jesus, that's who we follow. That's who we worship. We don't worship the earthly leaders. We don't put men and women on pedestals and say, I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. I follow this person. I follow Matthew. I follow that person. I follow this one, that one. No. So the nothingness of Paul and Apollos is not some kind of nothingness that makes them of less value. I think it's the exact opposite. I think it's the understanding that in their humility, God is using them. As they are humbling themselves to Christ and being dependent on Christ, God is using them. They're, in a sense, being more honorable because they're decreasing and Christ is increasing. That's what it's saying. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives growth. Only God who gives growth. God gives growth. That's it. As we talk about discipleship, God gives growth. As we talk about coming together and through that discipleship taking place in areas like small groups, you know, one of the things I hope to see more and more from our small groups is that relationships are established, and those who are younger in the faith say to those who are older in the faith, Can you speak into my life? I need somebody to speak into my life. And you know, as we've been having meals together, I appreciate the way that you connect. And I need some truth. I need somebody to say what I need to hear, not just what I want to hear. Verse 8, he who plants and he who waters are what? Are one. So now it's not just saying, compared to Christ, they're of none. Now it's saying, guess what, guys? What Paul's saying here. Paul and Apollos were one. And if you come against one of us, you come against us. And you come against Christ. When I speak ill about this person in favor of this person, I'm hurting everyone. And so we've got to be so careful there. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. What's that saying? Guess what? It's not for you to judge. God will judge. God will judge. There are scriptures that make me as a pastor terrified. And excited, both. Why? Because it says I'm going to be judged severely. That kind of responsibility I can't carry. And I need to be dependent on the one who can. But I need to keep being humble and teachable so I keep becoming more like him. So it becomes, over time, less about me and more about him. As none of us are where we need to be. But by the grace of God, we're going in the direction that we should be going. Verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. So now it's not just Paul and Apollos are on the same team. But they're on the same team as Christ. Fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. You're what he's doing. How does God intend to bring the person out there who doesn't know him? Through you loving them. Not with your love, but with his love. You know, one of the things that impacted me in a really challenging way, in a way I'm really thankful for, is Jamin has been calling me because he's so concerned about what's happening at Tent City. And so he keeps texting me and calling me because it's on his heart. It's not what he thinks he should do. It's his heart. And praise God for that. Because it's gone from, this is what I should do, to, I love these people. I know these people. It's been a testimony to me. It's been a challenge to me. Because in all honesty, in all the time I've been here, I didn't notice that group. I didn't. But you know, as more and more people love and serve, guess what? We start finding out about more and more people who need to be loved on. more and more people who need to be reached out to. And we start doing it together in unity. And now there's the strength because we're not working against each other, but we're working with each other. And praise God, salvation happens more and more. And it's not just individual lives that are transformed. It's community that is transformed. And we start seeing Skyway, the place where God lives. Not Skyway, the place where people get shot. Wouldn't it be great if people see on the news about Skyway, and they're like, man, I want to move there. Because they won't be saying, I want to move there because there's a lot of stuff there, but there's a lot of Jesus there. There's a lot of people who care for each other there. There's a lot of the gospel there. There's a lot of truth and love. There's a lot of humility there. There's a lot of people sharing, back to the first church, sharing what they have. Being kind, being gentle, loving deeply, serving God by loving man in the love of God. Let's close in prayer. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for trying to do your work so much of the time without you. Forgive us for trying to be Peter with Jesus and saying, I've got a better way. I know what to do here. For saying, whether it's either out of puffing up or out of fear, for trying to do things in our own way, in our own strength, in our own time. Father, forgive us. Father, break us down and humble us so that we can see truth. Lord, forgive us for seeing the faults in others rather than being broken before you because of our faults, because of our sin. And thank you, Lord, that when you see us by faith through grace that we have in you, you don't see our sin. You see Christ's righteousness. We've given you our junk and you've given us you. And we have no self-righteousness to stand on. None, Lord. Forgive us for trying to stand on our self-righteousness. Lord, I pray more and more we would be humbled so much that we would stand only on your righteousness in us that was given freely. Father, I just pray that you would continue to break us down, to build us back up, to be dependent on you. So humble us where you need to humble us. Do what you need to do in our lives to humble us, Lord. Do what you need to do in our lives to humble us so that we can be dependent upon you and stop being self-dependent. And stop being self-righteous. Father, thank you that you have given this church men and women in leadership and in the church family who love you. And yes, Father, we are struggling, but we love you and we're children of God. Father, we desire more and more solid food. And it's not intelligence, it's not theology by itself that's going to give us that. It's the kind of truth from your word which transforms us through humility and brokenness and dependence to say, I choose Jesus today in this situation. I choose the truth of his word in my marriage, at work. I choose his truth in my life. With this relationship, with that, even this one. Father, forgive us. And thank you that you do. We desire to be real with you so that we can love each other well. Lord, I pray that the spirit of self-dependence, that the spirit of I know what to do, that the spirit of self-reliance would be cut out of us. And Lord, that we would see that surgery not as poor me, but thank you, Lord, that you are the great physician who's willing to do the surgery and bring into our lives what needs to be brought so that we can deal with this. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We ask that you would keep moving and that we would keep reaching for you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, Lord. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is here working through the truth of your word. And it's for freedom that Christ set us free. And we are to walk in step with the Spirit. So, Lord, we need to change our walk to get in step with you. And stop praying that you would change what you're doing and just figure it out and get in step with us. Forgive us for having that down there at times. In our hearts and minds and souls. We need you, Lord, desperately. Thank you that you are with us and that you promise to never leave us or forsake us. Lord, we pray that you would bring transformation more and more into our lives. That we would look less like us tomorrow and we would look more like you. Lord, show us how to carry our cross daily, to follow you, and to enjoy the journey. And enjoy you in the process. And enjoy each other. Because we are gifts given to each other by you. Thank you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thanks, guys.